Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up tomorrow, we conclude our August series with political reporter Anna Sale from itsafreecountry.org. We'll debrief Anna about her ongoing reporting on independent voters. That's coming up tomorrow here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Meanwhile, President Obama had some good news the other day for immigrants hoping for the DREAM Act. If you're in this position, you obviously already know about this. But the DREAM Act would allow legal immigrant status to people who were brought here, the DREAM Act, if they pass the whole DREAM Act, it would allow legal immigrant status to people who were brought here illegally as children by their parents. They could earn legal residency by doing 2 years of college or 2 years in the military. Now, Congress won't pass the DREAM Act, but the president announced that the government will focus deportation efforts mostly on people who have committed crimes and not on otherwise law-abiding DREAM Act eligible immigrants. So let's talk about what this means and how much it changes anyone's life. Call us with your reactions, because I know you know about this if it does affect you and you're in this category. So if that's you, 212-433-WNYC for DREAM Act eligible listeners, if they ever pass the DREAM Act, 212-433-9692. This has quality of life implications, political implications, as the poll numbers for the president have been going down among Latinos. And again, if this affects you or your family, call us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Julia Preston, New York Times national immigration correspondent, is here to help us understand it. Hi, Julia. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
What's new here? Don't they prioritize criminal immigrants for deportation already?
They had already announced guidelines to that effect. But what's different here is that two things. One is there's going to be a working group at the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice going case by case through the docket of some 300,000 cases that are already people in deportation proceedings. And they're going to be removing from that docket and canceling the deportations of people who are in a variety of categories, and one of them is people who would be eligible under the DREAM Act. The other point is that the administration is being much more forceful in training immigration and customs enforcement agents to understand these new guidelines so that they will not initiate deportation proceedings against young people who might be eligible under the DREAM Act.
So what it changes is people's risk of being deported if they haven't committed any crimes in this country. Will it give them the ability to work legally in this country, which is, I think, what most DREAM Act eligible immigrants are hoping for?
Yes, it will. Now, I think we should clarify what it won't do and what it will do. It does not confer any positive status. Only Congress could do that by passing the DREAM Act. So, in a way, the kids that are in this situation who are avoiding deportation will be in a kind of legal limbo. But
and a lot of them are adults. They were brought here when they were kids, so some are still kids, and many have grown up.
Yes, but a lot of them are college age.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a pretty large number of people across the country, as many as 750,000 people across the country who might immediately be eligible if the DREAM Act were to pass. But under existing law, it is possible for immigration authorities to grant work permits to people who have their deportation proceedings continued, but the actual deportation is canceled. So for those people who are already in proceedings, they will be eligible to apply for work permits. It won't be automatic. It's not guaranteed. You have to pass another series of standards to be able to get the work permit. But if these young people can get a work permit, then that brings a Social Security number, and that will give them the possibility of doing what so many of them want to do, which is to go to college at the in-state resident tuition rates. The big issue for a lot of these kids is that they can't afford, after they graduate from high school, to go to college. They really hit a wall after they graduate from high school because they can't afford to pay the out-of-state rates for the public universities in their states. So having a work permit and a Social Security number will give them the legal possibility of going on to college and also perhaps applying for financial aid. So this is a very big deal,
And that's state by state. And in New York, I think they can already do that, right?
Yes, that might be right,
But does that mean that these young immigrants who are not in deportation proceedings, just the system hasn't detected them at all, that they're eligible for work permits now?
No, it doesn't.
So in a way, you're better off at this moment if you're DREAM Act eligible and you're in the process of being deported?
Well, in a certain way, yes. But what, the other thing that has happened is that the administration has made it clear as a matter of national policy that they are not interested in having Immigration and Customs Enforcement or Border Patrol or any of the enforcement agents put these young people into deportation proceedings. So at least they have the prospect of some relief. They can have a more public life than they have had before. But, you know, this is not the DREAM Act. And the only way, I mean, from the perspective of what these students have asked for, the only way that could really happen fully is if Congress acts to pass this piece of legislation, which, as you know, failed in the Senate last year.
Right, and it's very controversial. I'd say about half the people calling in are just calling in to oppose the DREAM Act. And this segment is not to debate the DREAM Act one way or another, but there's a lot of passion out there among people who oppose the idea of the DREAM Act, and they are certainly calling in right now. However, Shamim in Brooklyn is DREAM Act eligible and is also calling in, and let's talk to Shamim. Shamim, you're on WNYC. Shamim, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead. So does this affect you? Were you aware of this policy?
That's what I want to know, is it affect me or not?
Well, tell us what your situation is.
I have the green card, not the work permit, but I don't get the renewal this year. And I have my daughter is 1 year old.
Was your daughter born in this country?
Yes.
So your daughter is an American citizen.
Yes.
Does this sound like it applies to him, Julia?
It might apply to him to the extent that he might be relieved, have the possibility of avoiding deportation proceedings. But, none of this confers any positive immigration status on someone who doesn't have it right now.
Let's talk about the politics of this a little bit. I mentioned a political context of declining approval for the president among Latinos. He's gone down from 70-something approval rating to 60-something approval rating in a new poll. Only 38% say they are certain to vote for him in 2012. Now, even fewer say they're certain to vote for the Republicans, that's for sure, whoever the Republican candidate is. But I think what we're seeing is that because of immigration policy, largely, the president's, the passion for President Obama among Latinos and other immigrants is much reduced, and that could affect turnout, which could swing the election next year.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, there are vastly varying perceptions of this administration's enforcement policies. I think on the Republican side, there's a feeling that he has not been enforcing the law strongly enough. But from the Latino communities, there is exactly the opposite impression. This president has set modern records in the last 2 years for the number of deportations. You've had almost 800,000 people deported from the United States in the last 2 years. And a lot of them have come from Latino communities. And so there's a very powerful sense of disappointment out there. A president who promised that he would take up what's known as comprehensive immigration reform in the first year of his term. There's been nothing has happened in Congress to bring relief for immigrants who are out of status. And on the other hand, the Latino communities have been feeling the pressure of these deportations. And so I think what has happened politically is the administration had been using the enforcement policy in the hope of attracting Republican support for legislation like the DREAM Act that President Obama supports. And I think this latest measure is a sign that he has given up on that strategy. He doesn't think that he's going to get any Republican support for that kind of legislation between now and the election next year.
So how much more could the president do unilaterally in the executive branch without Congress for those here illegally?
I think this is just about as far as he can go. He has been under pressure from, from the Latino community to, for example, grant a blanket moratorium on deportations, a more explicit across-the-board moratorium on deportations for certain classes of students, of illegal immigrants, for example, the students. And that's not what he has done in this case. They are still going to go through these cases one by one in this very painstaking process that is not going to be quick. So I think the administration would argue that this is as far as they can go without some kind of legislation in Congress to make changes to the immigration system.
And again, if our listeners would be eligible for legalization under the DREAM Act but are not currently in the process of being deported, there's nothing they can do to take advantage under this executive order or this new policy, correct?
That's right, yeah. But Brian, I want to make one point that I think probably will your listeners who are opposed to the DREAM Act would be interested to know, which is that these students are currently all living in the United States, and they're all high school graduates. And so at the moment, they can't work legally. So it's not only that they can't go to school, but they also can't work legally. So by not providing them any legal means to continue to be in the United States, even though we're talking about a population of people who've been here since they were small children, essentially what you're doing is creating a every year larger underground workforce that has to look for work in some illegal way, which I think is perhaps not a positive development in a context where we already have such large unemployment. To be creating a larger underground economy may not be a good idea.
So I'll engage that for 1 minute. Let's see if Cheryl in Staten Island. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling. Did you hear what Julia Preston was just saying? And I know you called in. You called in to say don't let the child profit from the crime of the parents being
That's
here
right.
illegally. Did Julia Preston just influence your thinking at all by saying, look, we're talking about a population of people who have graduated from high school and now either can go on to be looking for work legally or illegally in this country?
I understand what she said. And I do feel sorry for these young people, but their parents made a conscious decision. You know, and it's one of those things where...
Whoops, we're having a little... Cheryl, I'm sorry, we lost you for a second. You said their parents made a decision, and this is one of those things where...
You know, there have been people who have been here for generations and can't find employment in this country. They are legally the descendants of people who have been citizens of this country, and they can't find employment, you know, for whatever reasons. And certainly having yet another group of people who are in here competing against those poor people... is not fair. You know, I mean, their parents have lived here for all these years, and all these years that they've been here, they literally have been stealing from the community. No one would accept me going into a supermarket every day and saying, I'm hungry, I'm going to steal food off the shelf. Yet these people have stolen services from us for all of this period of time. There needs to be property taxes and income taxes to support the schools and the hospitals in our community.
So would you step up the as far as the young people, would you just step up the deportation efforts to get them out?
Well, you know, I would. There would have to be some price to pay. If they want to stay, then there has to be some kind of way of them making up for all that has been taken from us.
Cheryl, thank you. And we will leave it there, Julie, unless you want to say one other thing. Obviously, the debate, pro and con, on the DREAM Act goes on.
Yes, indeed.
And President Obama taking this step, which affects some DREAM Act eligible people and others. And Julia Preston, New York Times national immigration correspondent, has been talking about it with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, something only slightly less contentious, and that is your report card on the state of your local subway line. Gene Rushinoff from the Strap Hangers Campaign, the Riders Advocacy Group, which just released their annual State of the Subways report card, will be here to take your calls. Call in to talk about the state of your local subway line, the ones that you use the most, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and we'll hear the Strap Hangers take on the best and worst lines in the system as of this year.